So today, let's do Torah and Tea. It's the portion is Akev, but tonight is also the 15th day of Menachem Av, Chamisha Asur B'Av, and it's also coming up, this next week is going to be the 20th of Av, which is the Yahrzeit of the Rebbe's father, Rebbe Levi Yitzchak. But today we'll discuss, as usually, we discuss two topics. One is 15th of Av in volume 34, and also A1 in volume 34. Okay. So, first off, today is the 15th of Av. It's very interesting that the Talmud says that the 15th of Av was one of the happiest, one of the best days for the Jewish people. And the Talmud gives various different reasons what happened over there. It was a lot of marriages took place over there. There was a lot of good things. It was a joyful, happy day. But then there's something else which is not as well known. The Talmud says that starting from the 15th of Av, one should spend more time learning Torah. Simply meaning, it says that from the 15th of Av, the nights get longer. Basically, during the beginning of the summer, the days get longer, but starting from the 15th of Av, the days get shorter and the nights get longer. And basically it means that since there's a longer night, there's more time to study Torah. It's a little strange. Why are we learning Torah especially at night? What is it about the night that because the night get longer, that's why we have to learn Torah? The Rebbe analyzes this, but he says like this. I mean, people who always are learning Torah, that's what they do. Like, you know, you have some people, all what they do is study Torah. They don't have any other occupation. They sit in the kollel, or they sit in the yeshiva, or whatever, they study Torah the whole time. So, those people that study Torah all the time, so what does it mean that they have to add to their study of Torah? I mean, what are they going to add if they're already learning Torah all the time? Where is the room for the addition? What about the people who are working, have a job during the daytime? Okay, so why would they only have to add because the night gets longer? Why only when the night gets longer? On the contrary, maybe one would think at the nighttime, the Gemara says that you start learning at nighttime, you get rewarded, because that's a very special merit to learn Torah. And if you don't add to Torah, then there's negative consequences for this. But the question is, what is the association specifically that because it's night and there's more time at nighttime, it seems like the daytime that a person has to work, so if he steals sometimes from work or doing other things and he learns Torah, he should get more reward than someone who learns at nighttime when he's not working anyways, so he can learn more Torah then. Why are we associating this with nighttime? So the bottom line is, the Rebbe brings down that the nighttime has a special quality. Learning Torah at nighttime has a special quality. What's the quality, what is the special learning that you get from learning at nighttime? In Maimonides, the Rambam writes that one who wants to earn the crown of Torah, how do you earn the crown of Torah? So he gives two conditions how to get to the crown of Torah. One condition is that you have to devote yourself entirely to the study of Torah. If you think, oh, I want to live a good life, I want to have riches, I want to have convenience, I want to have pleasures, and I want to study Torah. Meaning, you don't want to give up anything else, but you want everything. You want to study Torah, and you're not going to get the crown of Torah that way, the Rambam writes. In order to get the crown of Torah, you must devote every minute and every moment for the study of Torah, and you cannot want or expect anything else. He quotes from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says, this is the path of Torah, that you should eat, the Mishnah says, bread with salt and drink limited amount of water. Basically, you can't expect to have all the pleasures of the world and study Torah if you want to put effort in Torah. So basically, the first condition, in order to get the crown of Torah, you got to be totally devoted to Torah. But then the Rambam says there is something also about getting the crown of Torah is by studying at nighttime. And this is actually also brought down in Halacha. There's something special about studying at nighttime. That's what we're discussing over here. And that's the way you get the crown of Torah when learning at nighttime. Now, of course, one can say, if you're studying during the daytime, the telephone rings, there's a lot of distractions, you know, something goes on. So it's more productive learning at nighttime when there's no other interferences, so then you can devote yourself to the study of Torah. But there's more than that. There's something about the nighttime that you merit the crown of Torah. The Rebbe says, what is the crown of Torah? What does it mean when we say you're going to get the crown of Torah? What is the crown of Torah? So the Rebbe says it could mean one of two things. Either it means that you will become and be encompassed by the Torah like a crown. So what it means to earn the crown of Torah means that you, the person who is studying the Torah, will be connected to the Torah, like the Torah becomes a crown, surrounds him fully. Sometimes a person can learn Torah, but the Torah doesn't really encompass him fully. He and the Torah remain like separate. You, Torah. But the crown of Torah, this is what the Rambam writes in the first level, forget about everything else. Your only desire should be to learn Torah and give up on all other material, other needs, just devote. So then the Torah becomes like your crown. It surrounds you because you're fully encompassed, you're fully engulfed by the Torah. That's one level of a Keser Torah. But then there's another level in Keser Torah. It's not what the Torah does for you, but there is a part of Torah which is called the Keser of Torah, which within Torah, over there we're talking about, if you want to earn, not just to learn Torah, but you want to learn and achieve so that you get to the crown of Torah. The crown of Torah means that Torah has a special part in it, which is called its crown, which is like a crown, which is its pride, which is something special about the Torah. For that, we're saying you have to spend the nights learning Torah, then you can achieve the crown. And the Rebbe explains what is it that the Torah is more than just a wisdom. It's more than just an idea. The Torah is a connection to the infinite, to Hashem. It's God's wisdom. The crown of Torah is in order for a person to merit to connect to the one who gives the Torah, to connect to Hashem. It's a way, saying the crown of Torah means that you achieve a greater degree of connecting, more than just understanding the Torah, but actually connecting to the Torah and connecting to the giver of the Torah, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, to get to that, you need to learn at nighttime. And as Rebbe explains, nighttime is especially opportune time for learning the esoteric, the Kabbalah, the hidden parts of the Torah, according to also the Arizal. And learning those parts of Torah actually connect you to Hashem, because you're learning about Hashem. It's not just the study of the wisdom, of the intellect, but it's a connection with Hashem. And the Rebbe explains, what does it have to do with the level of nighttime? The level of nighttime represents the idea of humility. Now, all of Torah, whenever we study Torah, sometimes you have people that learn Torah in order to try to show up someone else or to try to take pride to people should know what a chacham he is, how wise he is, that he's such a scholar. He's learning the Torah for his own needs, for his own motives, not to connect to Hashem, not even to know what the Torah says, but he's looking in order to be able to make himself more important than other people. That's not the right approach to Torah, any part of Torah. Like we say in the Amida, we say in the prayer, we say, we have to be humble like dust in front of everybody, then that will open up my heart to Torah. Why? Because if you have this block of arrogance or haughtiness that you approach, then you are not really going to fully understand. You have to be humble, and you have to appreciate that this is something which is higher than you, and not to learn Torah just to brag about it, but to humble yourself. But especially when we talk about learning the Kabbalah, or learning the esoteric part of Torah, learning that that's something which the whole approach is, you're not even learning so much here the wisdom, because when you're learning and trying to understand an idea, you're using your mind, you're using your intellect. But here we're talking about connecting with Hashem in a way which is beyond your understanding. And that's represented by the nighttime that at nighttime, when there is quiet and there is silence and there is sort of low key, that is an opportune time to connect. Now, we know the whole idea over here is interesting. The Rebbe brings out that, you know, why is the 15th of Av made into such a yomtiv? It's because it comes after the 9th of Av. Tisha B'Av is a huge descent. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. It was a very down time. And the fact that we come up to the 15th of Av, what happens on the 15th of every month? That's when the moon, there's a full moon, which represents the Jewish people on the highest, on the fullest level. So, coming from Tisha B'Av, in which we were down, and then we reach to the 10th of Av, the 11th, the 12th, and we come to the 15th, so now we've reached sort of the peak, the highest level. That's why the joy is the greatest. It's a tremendous amount of joy because you've sort of come from a very low place and you reached full moon, meaning you reached very high. That's why the simcha, the joy of the 15th of Av, is greater than every other month, the 15th of the month of the other month, because the other 15th of the month don't follow this descent, so therefore the elevation is not so great. But the issue over here, while the 15th of the month itself is a very special day, but here we're saying that starting with the 15th of Av, you have to learn more Torah every day. But what happens after the 15th of Av? This is an interesting, there seems like to be a paradox. Okay, so when the moon is not yet full moon, what does that represent? That you're not yet at the height of your level. You keep on growing, right? So therefore, one must learn that what happens after the 15th of the month? You start going down. So what does it mean? That after the 15th of the month, you're going to start learning again and increasing. But what happens? You know, it's a natural phenomenon. The first 15 days, it keeps on going higher, but then it keeps on going lower. So what does it mean? Finally, we reach the peak. Okay, then we have to go down? No, God forbid, it doesn't mean that. It's a difference. Before the month, the 15th, the fact that the moon is not full yet represents a lack of accomplishment, that you're not fully there, which means every day you increase, you're becoming better, you're becoming bigger, you're becoming more light, you're becoming a bigger luminary, you're becoming the Levana, you're shining more. That's represented by the lack of a full moon before the 15th, represented that you're lacking. But the moon, when it gets lower after the 15th of the month, that represents the level of humility. That represents not lacking, but the more you go on from there, the more humility you have. Just like we have an increase in mitzvahs, but there is also a mitzvah to be humble and to be acceptance. So the moon getting lower day by day does not represent doing less or missing out or having less. But the second half of the month when you have less, that represents actually an increase in what? An increase in humility. The more you keep on going, the more there is more humility, because every day you get, the moon is less. What does it mean less? It's less of self-expression. So there's a big difference. So this idea of from the 15th of Av and on, even though it seems like it's going down, it's not really going down, it's going up. You're going up in your level, in your level of humility. Because we have to understand, there's a very, talking about Tisha B'Av, the Talmud says that the verse says, Alma of the Haaretz, why was the land lost? Why was Israel, why was the Beis HaMikdash, why was it destroyed? And the Gemara says that it because they neglected the Torah. Al Ozvam es Teirosi. And what does that mean? They neglected the Torah, that's why it was destroyed. And the Gemara says, what does it mean they neglected the Torah? The Gemara says is Shalai Barchu Batera Tchila. They didn't make the blessing, they didn't bless. So what's such a big deal? Why is the land lost because they didn't do a blessing? Doesn't seem reasonable to have such a destruction because they didn't do the bracha. Why should the land be lost? And the commentators explain, making a bracha represents your connection to Hashem. You're saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed you Hashem, that gives the Torah, which means your approach and you treat the Torah as a treasure, something godly, something that Hashem has given you. That's what you say, the Nosin HaTorah. The whole idea needs to be a commitment and a devotion to Hashem. Learning the Torah is merely a channel of connection to Hashem. It's very important to remember all the time. A lot of times, people they say, I'm going to learn Torah. I'm not going to waste a minute. I'm going to learn Torah. But we learn Torah because Torah is our expression of our love to Hashem and the love of the Torah, because this is godly and this is what Hashem gave us. It's not an expression of a intellectual exercise, and you know, so when they didn't make the bracha, what it means is they didn't have respect for the Torah. They were learning the Torah without a bracha, which means maybe they were having a good discussion over there, they're having a good debate, and maybe people were coming up with interesting insight, but they didn't have the bracha, they didn't have that humility. They didn't have the level of acceptance, accepting that this is godly, this is Torah. And if you miss that, and the Rebbe says more than that, because the Gemara says over here, you add life. When you connect to Hashem, you learn the Torah, it adds life to your life. Because when you learn the Torah with a proper devotion, that's the way to increase your energy, your life, your enthusiasm. If you don't learn, you're missing out. You're missing out on part of your life. The Torah can be really something that can give you a tremendous amount of life and energy, vitality, but you have to approach it with the right way. You have to respect it as the Torah of Hashem. So, if you learn at nighttime, in this context, it means from the Chamisha Asbav especially to learn the Kabbalah or Chassidus or some of the esoteric parts of Torah that give you that energy that adds life to your life, because learning Torah is life, and getting that extra vitality that comes from the inner part of Torah. And you learn it at nighttime, and you learn it with humility, and you learn it after Chamisha Asar B'Av, as the days are getting smaller, you're increasing level of humility. That adds such a deeper and such a much greater dimension. And it's also, by the way, this represents that you see the Rebbe would take some very capable students of the yeshiva, and the Rebbe would turn them into teachers, into Chabad rabbis, into shluchim, into, and in other places, they take the students that go to yeshiva, they encourage them to continue studying and to grow in Torah and to become more knowledgeable and become more. But if Torah is there to create a connection to Hashem and there is that humility, if there is a call of the day and the hour that we have to go ahead and do something for Hashem, so we put away our own wishes and desire, we do what Hashem wants us to do. To the Rebbe, when there was a fire burning out in the streets, when there was nobody there to take care, the Rebbe said, okay, close your Gemara, close your, and go out there and help make a difference, help another Yid. Teach them Torah, you know, don't only grow yourself. Why? Because it's the giver of the Torah. It's not the Torah independently. If you take away Hashem from the Torah and you just want to study Torah because you enjoy, you want to study Torah, then you're going to go astray. You're not going to do the right things. In order to do the right thing is you got to keep in mind all the time that this is the Torah of Hashem. Otherwise, the land is lost. You're missing out. You're not adding and you're not doing as much as you should. Another point, which is connected more to the parasha of Ekev, is we read a rehash. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the story that after being on the mountain, and then he came down and he saw the Jewish people made the golden calf. So what did he do? He took the luchas and he broke them, right? But it doesn't just say that he took the luchas and he broke the luchas. He says, I grabbed hold on the two luchas, I threw them down and I broke them. So the commentaries are discussing, what does it mean, I grabbed hold? He was carrying the luchas down from the mountain, and then he just dropped them. Why did he need to grab hold of them before he threw them down, before he broke them? So it's a very interesting discussion, because the other question it would be, how did Moshe Rabbeinu have a right to break the luchas? It seems like the luchas were the property of all the Jewish people. Just like the rest of the vessels that were in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, they were the property of the community. They were the property of the Jewish people. So one assumes that the luchas that Hashem gave Moshe to put in the ark were property that belonged to the Jewish people. So what gave Moshe the right to damage and to destroy property that is not his? It belongs to the other people. Now, you might argue and say, well, Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to protect them, because as Rashi says, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want the Jewish people to be judged as married women to Hashem, which is more severe for not being faithful. In this case, they went to the golden calf. It's like not being faithful to Hashem. Supposed to be married to Hashem, and here you're going to the golden calf. So that's an expression of infidelity. So the question is, Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, let me break the luchas, which is like the ketubah, and then they're not married, so the the sin is not as grave if there's no luchas over there. So even though he damaged them, but he did it for their benefit, so maybe we're not going to consider that damage. But still, the Rebbe asks, it would still be theft. You're not allowed to steal something that belongs to someone else. And the Rebbe has an interesting remark over here. Rebbe says that actually the luchas were Moshe's personal possession. Hashem gave it to Moshe. It did not belong to the Jewish people. It was Moshe's luchas. However, we find this clearly by the second luchas, that Hashem gave it to Moshe, and Moshe, in his kindness, he passed it along to the other people. So, the Rebbe argues, the first luchas, which Hashem carved out, and there is evidence to this, but these were really the property of Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't stealing for anybody. However, Moshe Rabbeinu initially had in mind that he's bringing it for the Jewish people. He didn't want to hold it for himself. He brought it for them. It wasn't his private luchas. He brought it for the Jewish people. Since he brought it for the Jewish people, so before he can destroy it, he had to do an act. He had to grab hold of the two tablets to sort of possess it again. No, it's mine. And that gave him the right to go ahead and break it, because he's breaking it his own. He repossessed it, or he intentionally, instead of giving them, he says, I grabbed hold. It's mine. Then I can throw them down and I can break them. He did not take away anything from anybody. And the Rebbe says, look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu had nothing to do with the Egel, he wasn't there. Sometimes, even if you didn't do it, but you had an opportunity to protest. But Moshe wasn't anywhere near there. Moshe was on the mountain. Moshe couldn't stop them. He wasn't around. And still, Moshe Rabbeinu was defending the Jewish people. Even those, he wanted to make sure he took possession of those luchas again, just to make sure, to break it, so it should be easier for the Yidden, so that the Jews should not be judged harshly. That's the extent. And that's why it's interesting. The Talmud says when a tzaddik dies, it's difficult like the time of breaking the luchas. The Rebbe says it doesn't only mean the severity, just the broken luchas, but it means it brings about the same idea. We say when a tzaddik dies, it's like an atonement for the people. Why so? Because when the tzaddik dies, he goes up in the heavens, and he has even more power than he had during his lifetime to impact salvation for the people of his generation. So also the people that are far away, they too can sort of experience a salvation and a savior for them, even if they're far. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, in breaking the luchas, was caring about the Yidden. The tzaddik, his passing, which is like breaking the luchas, very sad, but it accomplishes a tremendous protection and a savior for the people. Even people that made an egel, like here, still, it protects them. And the Rebbe talks a little bit about his father. You know, the Rebbe's father didn't even make it to the age of 70. I believe he was 68 years old when he died. Naturally, he wasn't supposed to die yet. He only died because he was exiled and because of the evil regime who abused the Rebbe and the Rebbe's father and many, many other people.
that he died before his time. So this was really something which was like breaking of the luchas in a non-timely way. But the Rebbe who gave his life over during his lifetime for helping Yidden, educating Yidden, spreading Yiddishkeit, standing strong, he at the end gave up his life for that. And that breaking of the luchas allowed for the Rebbe, then later on, Rebbe's father, to pray and to bring about a salvation for so many lost souls through his prayer, through his ascent, which was a tremendous elevation. So we are now after Tisha B'Av, and we are now ready for the building of the Beis HaMikdash and to come to the 15th above. We're now at the height of the joy, at the time that we make simcha, that we make happy occasions and blessings. So it's definitely an appropriate time for all of us to experience Hashem's kindness and Hashem's miracles, Hashem's simcha. And it's already, we can start already a blessing for the end of the month. It reminds us that we only have 45 days left to Rosh Hashanah. It's the 15th of Av coming up to Rosh Hashanah, which we pray for a chesima v'chesima tova and a good and sweet year. So may it be that we actually experience Yom Tov, a good day, a happy day, but it should be continuous, and we should increase in the study of Torah. We should get the crown of Torah. We should connect by learning the esoteric, the inner meaning of Torah, and A, to be encompassed by Torah. Torah should surround us like a crown, and also to merit the crown of Torah, that level of connection to Hashem. And that makes it for us a real Yom Tov, a real happy days. And that leads us into the happy days, the coming of Mashiach, speedily in our days.